and welcome to On Focus, brought to you by the Focal Therapy Clinic, where we connect you with issues facing men diagnosed with prostate cancer that are little known, less understood, often avoided, or even ignored. Prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer amongst men in the UK, and with this somber fact comes a multitude of challenges and opportunities. I'm Claire Delmar. Joining me today is Gemma Harris, a physiotherapist who specializes in helping people regain strength and confidence following a cancer diagnosis and treatment. Before establishing the Wellbeing and Rehab Collective in Surrey, where she currently practices, Gemma was part of the exercise medicine team at Genesis Care, an internationally recognized group of cancer care specialists. She's here today to discuss how exercise medicine is regarded by many as a key element of cancer recovery, and how she works with men who have been diagnosed and treated for prostate cancer. Gemma, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. It's such a privilege to have the opportunity to bring the importance and benefit of exercise and physiotherapy into the limelight.
Good. Well, that's what we're hoping to do. So let's kick off with, I did not use in my intro kind of deliberately, I did not use the word oncology, but I know that you often define as an oncological or an oncology physio. So what I want to ask you initially is what are the special needs of oncology patients, and if you can even get more specific about prostate cancer patients.
Yeah, absolutely. It's different because every patient is different. So it's very hard for me to kind of give you a very general statement. But what my patients tell me is what they really need is some hope. They need to be listened to and they need time. They go through a whole series of appointments, which can be very disempowering. They get given some what can be very traumatic and sad news. And it's kind of one appointment after the other where they have to turn up, have their chemo or have their radiotherapy or have their surgery. And actually, what they need is the opportunity to switch their focus from their illness to wellness. And that's really where oncology physio can kind of step in. And we say, well, who are you? What do you want to be able to do? And how can we help you to achieve that? I also think oncology patients need really good quality, evidence-based information when it comes to exercise. It's not good enough to be given a little leaflet that says, do more exercise. Mm-hmm. You know, exercise has to be prescribed on an individual basis, where we can assess somebody's baseline level, where they're at now, and then, you know, prescribe appropriate exercise to get them to where they need to be. To turn your question on its head, what's really interesting, you said, what are the special needs of oncology patients? Mm-hmm. One thing that's not special about an oncology patient is they're the same as every other patient. Mm-hmm. If a patient is going in to have orthopedic surgery, you would expect to have some physiotherapy afterwards. If somebody has cardiac surgery, they may well be offered cardiac rehab. But currently in the UK, our oncology patients are not routinely given physiotherapy and rehabilitation after surgery, chemo, and radiotherapy. What special needs do they have? We've got to think about their treatment and diagnosis, but also let's bring up the level of care that we're providing these guys and girls that by offering that physiotherapy and help.
Yeah. So, I mean, in a weird way, one of their special needs, to use my term, is that they're not offered it. So there's kind of a void or a vacuum. Would you say that, you know, anybody who's been diagnosed for cancer and treated has undergone some form of trauma, you know, whether that's, you know, holistically defined, you know, physical trauma, obviously mental, emotional. Do you think that is something that you deal with and that, you know, that has a special requirement for how we actually, you know, give somebody that hope that you described?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting in the line of work that I'm in is helping people come to terms with that trauma, whether that's physical or mental, or even kind of the social trauma of being kind of removed potentially from their social networks and their workplace and things. So having that opportunity to stop and pause and think about that is really important. And that's all part of what we offer is that space to do that. I think some people's trauma is really obvious. And you know, you can physically see sometimes when people are going through their cancer treatment, and sometimes it's immediate. But for a lot of people, it can kind of catch up in that latter stage. And I had an amazing patient explain her experience of trauma too, because she said at the point of diagnosis, that was a really tough time trying to mentally come to terms with it, telling family and friends and that sort of thing. And then she went through the treatment, which is like climbing a mountain. You know, it's really hard work, but actually you have got a bit of a cheerleading squad around you. You've got nurses checking in with you. You're turning up to appointments. So you've got a bit of touch base points to flag up any concerns and seek help with trauma you might be experiencing. You then get to the top of the mountain, hopefully, where you kind of finish your treatment, and then you think, oh, well, this should feel euphoric, but actually it's not described to me often as euphoric by my patients. They say it's a bit of an anti-climax, really, because you've just got to the end of something that you didn't really want to have to go through. And then you've got the challenge of coming down the other side of that mountain. And actually, the cheerleading squad has left you. You know, you're no longer having to go for your appointments, and people aren't phoning to check up on you and see how you're doing. And again, that's where some rehabilitation can really help step in and help you down the other side of that metaphorical mountain.
Yeah, no, it is a useful metaphor. But I mean, you used the word a few minutes ago in terms of giving hope, and what patients really need is evidence, not just a leaflet. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the evidence behind exercise-based medicine and you know, how this helps patients, you know, recover both physically and mentally from this trauma that we've talked about?
Well, it's so exciting because, you know, I'm working in a field where the evidence is coming out literally on a weekly basis to support what I do. We can talk about that kind of prehabilitation phase. So this is the phase after diagnosis, but maybe before surgery or treatment has commenced. And in as little as 2 weeks, we can have a meaningful and clinically significant change in somebody's anesthetic risk, their cardiovascular fitness. We can help reduce the risk of side effects and comorbidities going forwards, reduce length of stay in hospital. So that's really exciting evidence. If we think kind of more in that during your treatment itself, so actually exercising during chemotherapy and radiotherapy helps to minimize side effects, but also can help optimize those treatments themselves. There's some good evidence that actually, if you exercise during your chemotherapy, you're less likely to need a treatment dose reduction. That means you're more likely to receive your full dose of chemotherapy without having to stop due to side effects.
Is there an aging dimension to this? I mean, you know, does this evidence change regarding the age of the patient, or even the fitness level, you know, pre and post?
So actually, those who are least fit stand to gain the most from embarking on an exercise program. Patients who are going into treatment, the fitter and stronger they are before they start, the easier it's going to be for them to remain active during their treatment and actually withstand the treatment as it goes. We also know kind of evidence-wise that people who maintain an active and healthy lifestyle going forwards reduce their risk of cancer recurrence by on average 30%.
Really?
So, yeah, it's absolutely, you know, if only it was a drug, you know, if I could prescribe exercise in a pill, we'd all be taking it. But I don't think people are getting this message, you know, at the point of diagnosis and during their treatment.
So can you talk a little bit more specifically about some of the prostate cancer patients you've worked with and how some of the things we've talked about applies to them?
Well, what I'll do, I'll kind of link this in with a bit of research as well. But if I kind of describe a chap that I had not too long ago, he was a lovely guy, early 70s, diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he'd had his prostatectomy and was having hormone therapy treatment. And he came along to see me, I think probably because his wife told him to. I don't think he really knew what physio was going to do in these circumstances.
Yeah, very common.
Absolutely, completely common. But it was only as we kind of started talking that we kind of identified some issues that he was struggling with. So we kind of identified that he'd lost actually quite a lot of his strength. He was feeling extremely tired. His balance had deteriorated, and he was really concerned about being able to get back to looking after his grandson one day a week. And hormone therapy has physiological changes on the body. It affects your body composition. It can cause you to lose muscle mass and gain body fat and even the development of breasts. And I don't think he'd really stopped and given himself time to acknowledge some of these side effects he was experiencing. So we embarked on a 12-week exercise program. You know, I got him doing his squats and his lunges and his step-ups and that sort of thing. And after, at the end of the 12 weeks, you know, I look at somebody's baseline. We reassess again at the end of the 12 weeks. And he had improved across the board in his upper limb strength, his lower limb strength, his cardiovascular fitness. And actually something I think that may have been even more important was he'd made some friends with some peers going through similar treatments. There was a time we were all exercising in the gym and I had another chap in who he was also not very happy about the side effects from his prostate cancer treatment. And came in and was like, oh, effing and blinding about his moobs. I don't know if you're familiar with the term, meaning man boobs. And it just broke the ice. And, you know, these men then just got chatting, sharing that experience. And that's more valuable than anything I can offer, you know. And I know for a fact, two of these guys have gone on and stayed in touch going forwards.
Yeah, it's really interesting to hear that because I know, you know, with no disrespect to a lot of the support groups that are out there for men with prostate cancer, I think, you know, it's what you're describing is the difference between, you know, making connections with other men because you're all going through something terrible and comparing, you know, mutually terrible experiences. Whereas what you've just described is the positivity of connecting with people who've been through a similar experience, but you're connecting around, you know, something hopeful, to use your term.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, these are men coming together, taking control, feeling empowered to do something about the situation that they're in. And you know, this chap, it was wonderful. You know, at the end of the 12 weeks, I said, well, how do you feel about, you know, getting back to looking after your grandson one day a week? And he said, well, I already am. You know, he'd already achieved that goal because he'd improved his fitness. We know that exercise helps improve fatigue, although that can sound counterintuitive. Mm-hmm. Actually, a bit of exercise really boosts your energy levels and improves your sleep and things. I think I've got the best job in the world. Isn't it fantastic to be able to help people get back to do the awesome things in life?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, I think something else that you know occurs to me as I'm hearing you know, tell me these fabulous stories is, you know, a lot of, well, men, but anybody who's had a cancer diagnosis, it's almost like they've been sort of touched by fate and they, you know, that kind of changes their outlook. Like, you know, okay, I'm going to start looking after me, perhaps. Is that something you experience with these folks?
Yeah, 100%. And actually what we call it is a teachable moment. You know, how many times do you have to be told, oh, you want to do some more exercise? But when you get a diagnosis, it can be a bit of a wake-up call to think, right, actually, let's take this seriously. What do I really need to be doing? And that's where you need a bit of specialist help and guidance, because you might identify, you know, that you're losing your balance or you're finding it harder to get on and off the floor. But why? Is it that your hips have got stiffer? Is it that your legs aren't as strong as they used to be? You know, and that's what we need to unpick and train for. We don't squat in the gym for the sake of squatting in the gym or do lunges for fun. We do a lunge because that's what helps you come up from a kneeling position to standing.
Right.
I don't teach people to do a ground overhead squat because that's a fun thing to do. I teach them that because that's how they're going to get their child from the floor to up in the air to put the star on the top of the Christmas tree, if you remember the the Waitrose ad last year that I thought was fantastic that really illustrated that.
So in that sense, it really is, you know, that's where the physio, I guess, element comes in. It's about helping people regain or to even do the tasks and the movements that are essential to their daily lives. I mean, so I guess the question is, you know, not to, you know, pursue a difference between physio and exercise, but just out of curiosity, how many, if you can focus for a moment on the men you work with and, you know, the particularly the prostate cancer men, how many, what percentage would you say were fit before or cared about fitness before they came to you and are now more focused on fitness because of what you described as a teachable moment?
Oh, gosh. I don't have a literal statistic, but I would say the majority of people that come to see me are not exercising to the recommended level. So we know that the World Health Organization would recommend that all adult men are doing 150 minutes of exercise a week. That should consist of cardiovascular exercise, as well as strength work on at least 2 days a week. And we should be doing something to maintain our flexibility. I'd say the vast majority of people, because even the fit ones, and I get some very fit cyclists, they're kind of fit in one position. You know, they're actually incredibly stiff through their hip flexors and their thoracic spine. So most people could do with a bit of help and guidance, thinking more about, okay, it's great that you can ride your bike for 4 hours, but actually as you get older in life, that's a good skill to have, but I also want you to be able to, you know, maintain your balance and reach up to get things from the cupboard above you, or put your case in the overhead locker on an aeroplane, that sort of thing. And that's where it kind of takes somebody sometimes to take a step back and have a bit of an aerial overview of what you're doing to stay fit and active.
So can you just tell our listeners the name of your clinic, and I will put the links on our program notes as well. But you know, just before we say goodbye, just maybe you could just tell a little bit about your practice and how to get in contact with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so we are a little fledgling collective. We call ourselves the Wellbeing and Rehab Collective. We're based in Surrey. And really, we've kind of set this up because it doesn't exist. You know, I knew that there's lots of men and women out there who need help and support at every stage of their treatment journey. And so I've decided to do what I can to provide that help and support. So people can find us, you know, we're on the website wellbeingandrehabcollective.co.uk, and you'll see all our contact details on there. Or you can find me on Instagram, wellbeingandrehab.
Okay. Well, many thanks, Gemma, for talking to me. I think our listeners will find this absolutely fascinating. And I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. Really fantastic to hear what you're doing and you know, really commend you for setting this up. So thank you very much.
Well, and I think all I would like to say is that I think as patients, you should demand more. You should be requesting to see an oncology physio, asking where you can access some help and support to stay fit and active before, during and after your treatment. Because if you, the listeners, are asking for it, then actually the NHS and your private healthcare providers will listen and help seek out connections for you. So please feel empowered from listening to me and go and seek some help and support.
Fantastic. A transcript of this interview and links to Gemma's practice are available in the program notes on our website, along with further information on diagnostics and treatment for prostate cancer and additional interviews and stories about living with prostate cancer. Please visit www.thefocaltherapyclinic.co.uk and follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Focal Therapy Clinic. Thanks for listening. And from me, Claire Delmar, see you next time.